Yes, and I think that's a very important point that we have to drive home and think about. But it's also a practical reality and consideration that we have to make. And I caution candidates from overpromising in constituencies. There's certainly various things that you can do at a constituency level when it relates to community and family and those various activities that may not cost a lot. But the practical reality is that we have to look at the structure of the Barbados economy. And there are certain pockets within our country which drive economic growth and drive employment. So there's the South Coast, there's the West Coast, there's Bridgetown, there's Warrens. So unless there's going to be a national plan that specifically targets St. George North to make it one of those economic centers, the question becomes whether the candidates are actually in a position to bring about many of the changes that they're promising. And we must stop this over-promising at the constituency level, understand that the health of constituencies, by and large, will be determined by the health of the economy. So maybe that's what they have to start discussing. Are they going to push government in a direction where they're going to specifically target St. George North to improve the constituency and improve the infrastructure in a way where you can have essentially a Warrens maybe in St. George North? That is something that can deal with the unemployment situation. That is something that can deal with the bread and butter issues that affect persons in St. George North. That is something that can deal with crime. But is that on the table? That is a question we have to start asking.
That is representation, Glenn. What Devron Noakes spoke about is representation. And We have political parties. None of us are similar. But what we do know is that VHR are wagons to a particular camp. And that is because we recognize that it is in this vehicle that we're able to get some things done, even though we might not get everything done. And I think that is why the two persons for each candidate, whom we should have been hearing from, the candidates and their political leaders, because they're political leaders are bringing the political message, and I think the candidates ought to have been addressing the people of St. George North. And to tie into that, everyone said something I had written here, and I said I was going to say it. We keep talking about the high unemployment, and we keep talking about St. George being the breadbasket of the country. And even if it's only perception, then we have to ask questions. Why aren't we having one or two processing plants all right now going up in St. George North to handle the food and produce for any increase production of food? So that it is not just at the end going in the ground, but it is also at the processing to bring the retail outlets to the people of the constituency. We already see that the Glebe on Saturday mornings is a very vibrant place. And we need to know, to what extent can we have more localized farmers markets across St. George, not just serving the people of St. George, but serving that whole central zone of Barbados? And I think it is these types of things, because these are the things that can keep people engaged, employed, and feeling a sense of dignity that they're working for their own money. And dignity is at the heart of that independence.
Thank you, George. It has occurred to me that we were talking about, Devron was talking about over-promising. But certainly, if a candidate in this by-election had a better chance of delivering, or the best chance of delivering, we'd have the BLP's candidate, because the BLP is a ruling party. And I'm sure George and Devron would be familiar with a concept I raised last week with Dr. Hines, the question of the advantage of incumbency, whereby the incumbent government, because it's in power, it is enjoying what in politics knows to the victor goes to spoils, has the access to all the resources of government to provide goods and services and jobs to people in ways that the other candidates on the outside do not have. To what extent do you think, that is why George mentioned the pavilion going up at the Glebe. There's been talk about a move to eradicate the existence of some pit toilets. There's the patch in the road. These are things which governments do all the time in the elections, because that is your advantage as the incumbent. And you have the means, you have the responsibility, you have the way of doing it. But those people who are not in that position would therefore have to they can only promise and talk and whatnot. And it also employment. There are certain jobs, there are temporary jobs in government that can exist and happen exactly to coincide with the by-election. The bushing, there's the school monitors, there's the 500 people in the National Assistant Board helping. These are things that happen, that are going on, that give the incumbent the advantage to provide job opportunities for others.
I would generally, in a very large way, want to suggest that that is perception. It has tended to be traditional in Barbados to see a greater hive of activity in terms of cleaning the roads, projects being started, et cetera, around any election, whether by election or general election. However, I know that Barbados is a country that prides itself on the rule of law, and we abide by the terms that we sign on and ratify in terms of conventions, whether it's the OAS, whether it's the Commonwealth, et cetera. And we cannot put all the weight on government, nor should we push too much blame on government if we do not know the facts in relation to what may become an oversimplification of this whole tendency of patronage. Yes, we know that patronage worked, and it is there. But at the same point in time, we do not want to be accusing the government of anything nefarious, particularly if it is abandoned, because you
George,
I'm not saying that you have said that. No, please.
You're using a term which I never even hinted at. I never hinted at. You are talking about anything nefarious coming out of a discussion I made. I never even hinted at anything nefarious. All I said is using your position, your adversary incumbent to do it. You talk about perception.
George, one last point.
I have been involved in politics at a time of by-election. I know that these things are made to happen. You're not breaking the convention. You're just taking advantage of your position to give the advantage to your cause.
And I never accused you of anything. I never would. In fact, that was not very important. I am saying that there has to be this clear delineation in terms of what we perceive as patronage, as opposed to we given unfair advantage, which is specifically what all governments of Barbados have been signing since 1995 in terms of the OAS and the Commonwealth. And we said we wouldn't do that. And I said that Barbados is a place, as far as I know, that respects the rule of law. And we have to wonder about the weightedness that we apply when we are going to suggest patronage at a particular time to benefit only one candidate. The incumbent candidate. That is what I'm saying, and I will stand on that. I'm not accusing you of anything. I will not, never will.
Thank you, George. Devron, do you have a reaction to that before we go to the board again?
Well, certainly, I think it's a very practical and real reality within Barbadian and Caribbean politics in general that there is the advantage to the incumbent because they essentially have the purse of the government and they can direct resources in a way that may benefit one individual or another. I don't think that it is anything nefarious. It's just something that is culturally accepted that incumbents have that advantage. Both political parties have done it. And I think it is something that we need to move away from because it's creating a level of dependency and a situation where things are only done when election times come around. And I think one of the things we have to do is to focus beyond the fact that the government is just one entity in Barbados. So you have the private sector that can come on board and get things done. There's civil society, there's community activity. What about the diaspora of the St. George North individuals that will be living in the New Yorks and the Londons and the Torontos? How those individuals can come on board, the political parties, so they can come on board to get things done. I, as a young individual, really need to really move away from this idea that it is solely the responsibility and therefore also solely the fault of the government when things don't go the way that we want and when things aren't done. It can't just be the government. So the idea that, yes, Tony Moore may be in a better position than Floyd Mayfield to get things done in St. George, not because she's on the Barbados Labour Party's ticket, but we can't just think along that line because there are other individuals as well and other entities that can get on board, including the government.
Devron, I understand your point, but our politics has once been described the art of the possible. You talk about reality and practicality. What does a government, then all defense of this or any government, what does a government do when people are in need, and especially time when the private sector is in worship, and even the government, as regard employment opportunities or means of creating opportunities, what does a government do? Is it unthinkable that a government would seek to work towards the betterment of its citizens, even as a short-term venture, to make sure their lives are improved even temporarily? Would that be acceptable?
But I'm not sure if it's a short-term venture. It's a solely political venture. And I think that is the problem that we continue to face within the Barbadian context. That is why we are still having the same discussions about development and unemployment and crime that we've been having for 50 years, because we continue to treat our own people as political pawns. And we continue to politicize everything to the point where development is only determined based on the color or party color that you wear. And it's an unfortunate reality that we need to begin to move on and move away from.
Thank you. Dennis, can we go to the phones again? We got to take a break for our sponsor, then we come back to the phones.
Who's got conduits, fittings, dimmers, switches, ballast, bells and brackets? We do. Williams. Who does wiring, installations, maintenance for homes and business? We do. Williams. From electrical contracting and maintenance to consumer products, Williams Electrical should be your first stop for all things electrical, including UL-approved products of proven quality. Who's got the know-how just for you? Electrify service to you. We do. Williams Electrical.
Brass Taxi, back on the air. Can we go to the phone, please? Brass Taxi on the air. Come in, please.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
It's afternoon now.
Good. Well, okay. I have to make an assessment here of what I'm hearing, but first I would like to comment on the guy who was rehashing the development for the IMF and these parties that involve in the Barbados economy. But he also missed the fact that the European Union has blacklisted us. That is not my part. But what I'm saying here, the Barbados, the Democratic Labour Party, and Floyd Rieffel are two relatively new people on the scene. Even though the DLP was in power or in relevance for the last 50 years, they are still a new party. And Mr. Rieffel has taken up the mantle for the people of St. George and Barbados as a whole because of the environment that we are now existing in and under.
By new, you mean new under new leadership?
Under new leadership, yes.
Okay, fine.
Well, the new leadership is relevant even so, but what I'm saying is the overall component of the Democratic Labour Party seems to have found a new way, or better way, of doing business in conjunction with the people of this country. Mr. Rieffel has taken up the mantle to go forward and deliver a different perspective for the people of this country. I have no problem with Ms. Toni Moore, Mr. Grosvenor, whoever else. My point is that I see Mr. Rieffel as a man of commitment who has done much for his people, whether we believe it or not. I think that he should be given the opportunity to express that.
Thank you. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Yes, please.
Yeah, good afternoon to your team. All right, I want to...
Good afternoon.
I want to preface my comments first from a paper, Saturday Sun, October the 31st, and the heading in the front page is 300 million more. Barbados gets an additional IMF funding. And on page 3, the IMF mission laws Barbados' progress. And this is from the IMF Barbados team leader, Bert Van Sam. Now, he acknowledged that the COVID-19 pandemic has a major impact on the Barbados economy with double-digit decline in economic activity projected for 2020. Now, all I'm saying, the international reserves which reach a low of U.S. $220 million, 5 to 6 weeks import coverage in brackets at the end of 2018 are now...
How long ago?
In 2018, right, are now in excess of U.S. $1 billion. All quantitative targets
the robustness of the foreign exchange, foreign reserves.
Through what?
Through what means? Did we export a lot? Did we earn a lot of foreign exchange or what?
I'm not getting you clear, sir.
No, I'm saying what was the reason for the boost in foreign reserves?
Because the IMF has given them more money. There's an additional 300 million more. The heading is 300 million more. Barbados gets an additional IMF funding. More money has been thrown in. And he has done this with the acknowledgement of the COVID pandemic, which had a major impact on the Barbados' economy. And now it's a reserve of $1 billion. The point I want to make is, when you contrast 2018 to now, I would like to hear Mr. Braffitt expound on this particularly. When you contrast the two and see where we're at, some caller made a comment, I spoke on this, and he said that it's money borrowed. But if you got a car going down the road, see, and you don't have no spare tire and you get a flat, I hope you're going to be understanding that you're going to be there because you don't have nothing to take you forward. This reserve is very necessary to Barbados and has removed Barbados from the precarious situation in 2018. And today we are $1 billion in that fortification. This is laudable. If somebody want to come and knock the economy and talk, these are the sort of things that they need to dialogue with y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Before we go to the next call, I, like any loyal and well-meaning Barbadian, I'm always pleased to hear that we have met certain international criteria from the lending agency, from the rating agencies and whatnot. But especially in the case of the IMF, I cannot help but recall that a fisherman never says his fish is bad or it stinks. The program that Mr. Van Zandt is praising is an IMF devised program. So he's only passing good judgment on his own program that came out with the bellies of his organization through one of his representatives in Barbados. So it is well and good, but you have to look at the connections. You are still doing things which he approves of because that is his perception of the way the world should go at this time. George or Devron, anything to say on that before we go?
Yes.
Well, go
ahead. Everyone.
Okay, the thing is, we all have to live in Barbados, and I think it is always a good thing that Barbados meets any target that it sets out to meet, and the economy is going in the right direction, and all of those things are good things. Nobody's trying to refute that. But how an international agency would grade or view an economy, and how an average person on the ground would view an economy are two different things, and that's all I'm saying. At the end of the day, we've had inflation increasing, unemployment is 40%, the economy is contracted by 20% almost. And these are just realities and practical realities on the ground that people feel. I'm not blaming it on the government. Government did not create COVID-19 and the economy was going in the right direction prior to COVID-19. But the factual reality is, on the ground, people are hurting. And I don't think that is anything that can refute. I'm glad that the IMF is giving us a good grade. Excellent. I am a Barbadian too. But at the end of the day, on the ground, are people feeling the improvements?
I largely agree with what Devron is suggesting. I understand what the call is saying. And perhaps what is not being said, because we either do not want to give Jack his jacket, or we are looking for some clever way to get around it. The substantial difference between before May 2018 and after May 2018 is a rebound in confidence locally and from international entities operating and dealing with Barbados. I'm not saying that there's a full confidence, but one of the things that has shifted is the balance in terms of our image or reputation. Now, in terms of investments, we look at them in terms of portfolio investments or speculative. If you're looking in, even in terms of speculative, which is the soft things that you're not going to see, that is where the confidence comes in. So when we get reports like that, it means that they are expressing a confidence in the government that all things remaining equal, and there are improvements, we get the vaccine for COVID, et cetera, and we start back following pattern behavior and specific protocols in relation to how we govern, that we will be able to meet these and several other targets. And I think that is something that should really filter through the entire society. But we can't get away from the point. The people in St. George now, and I'm pulling it directly into the election, they want to hear, what are we going to do? Suppose this tourism handicap, we now see England shutting down, and we never know what happened in the US come turn of the ideal time that we would have, normally would have most of our tourists. What kind of further impact will that have on us? So we have to be looking to devise things. And all I'm hearing coming out is that, hey, it is better to give a little hope and a little confidence with what we have and what we know than to risk further uncertainty or to risk those who had allowed things to disintegrate. And that's what I'm hearing coming through.
It seems to me, George, that you're crying out for specific policies aimed at these specific requirements.
Exactly.
And that proposals.
That is how I believe. I guess that is social scientist in me. We can talk about all these things, but the reality is, what models that you have in place in terms of a framework, what things are you going to bring to people that make an observable difference, a quantifiable difference, a measurable difference in the quality of life that people are able to attain in Barbados? And particularly, we speak about St. George North. I've heard you mention it elsewhere when you called and you made a point. And I said, no one to go on that, but it's a very good point. St. George North, the constituency, it is urban, it is suburban, and it is rural. Right. It is all of those in one. And when you have that type of situation, you understand the class differentiations and the perceptions of class and wealth and how it is operated. So that it means that, again, you have to emphasize community and seeing how those that have made it can help those at the bottom. Those at the bottom can still be able to get something from those who've made it in terms of what they can initiate and what they can do in terms of self-help. There are avenues.
Thank you, George. I think you're going back to the point I made where we have been in need in St. George. I'm a resident of St. George now for the last 35 years, and I am yet to hear anything coming out of the campaign where you're caring, like I said, to the various interest groups, the various sections of the community, the various needs of the various parts, you know, in the constituency to make them feel that there's hope for them for a betterment of their situation. Can we go to the phones now again? Rastatz?
Good afternoon, Ms. Murray.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing? How are you doing first?
Good, man. I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, I good, you know.
And good, man. To good to hear you.
And to the listeners.
Yeah.
I would like to go on here. What's the name, this Mr. Bruce, what's the other gentleman's name?
Mr. Bruce. B-R-U-C-E. Bruce.
Mr. Bruce. What is his profession? You can help me.
He's a political scientist at KFL.
No, Mr. Murray. He can't be a political scientist and Mr. Raffi too. It's impossible. You're saying that he's a political scientist. Peter Wickham is a political scientist.
Dr. Braffitt, not Mr. Braffitt. Right.
And why they're so far apart?
Different views, different perspectives.
Let me give you one thing.
Okay.
Let's watch tonight when you get time off, you have a recording. A gentleman called earlier, let's call him the Topsy Man, formerly the historian. And he asked three questions.
Right.
And when he finished asking three questions, he said he would like to hear the two persons, two political scientists, and he would like to reply to them to finish up. Well, we don't know what he would have finished up with because he went to the break and he wasn't there no more. I don't know what happened. But I would like you to listen tonight to the two political scientists and tell me what you hear. It is almost embarrassing, Mr. Murray. A couple of weeks ago, our Prime Minister announced three debates. This to me was a mistake. Might happen. Then it reduced to two. And then it was down to one. I went to a couple of little hangs as I do. After last night was at one. And I really feel good hearing what people are saying about all news media and people who are in position to help guide, help and educate people.
You're breaking up, sir.
I'm breaking up.
Oh, you go ahead. Yeah, go ahead now.
I don't like what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Mr. Buffett from the time this program started. He should leave what he is saying for the Barbados Labour Party platform tonight.
It is not unusual for a professional political scientist or economist or whatever to agree with something that is supportive or disagree with the government. So that is not anything unusual.
Let me give you a reason.
Mr. Murray. Yep. Mr. Murray and Mr. Connor, how are you doing, Alvin? I hope you're well. Alvin, if you listen, you would realize that everyone, Glenn, and Mosica, I have not really tended to disagree too much. But what I have done, I have put things in an honest and authentic perspective, given teaching and training. And I, just for the record, and I am not the type of boastful one, I earned.
You use the word honest just now.
Okay, if you want to suggest that I'm dishonest, I will take it.
I mean, with your political... Let me get an idea. I got so much things that you say that is political. And Mr. Dennis Johnson keep begging us not to be political. Because I'm a regular caller. And I follow him.
Not on this program.
You was on a couple of weeks ago when the government celebrated 2 years in government. You remember? You was on CBC.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I was not. I did not speak on the government's celebrating two years anniversary bed on CBC or any program. Not even VOD. First time
my point was on
the invitation. We're talking about corruption. Get your facts right.
Might I point out to you, gentlemen, that we're coming up for a break in the news at 12:30. So I'd like to wrap up your presentation because it's still just over a minute or so.
All I am saying, he was asked by the taxi man about the government, if they're more popular now than etc. I heard him when it was celebrating 2 years, congratulating the government, what a fantastic job to do. So
you did not hear me, sir. I did not publicly comment on that. In no way.
Did you say it just now?
Right. I said that. You had an anomaly with an overwhelming mandate, a very high percentage, over 75% of the overall vote in the country. It is obvious. It is likely that any other government, any other party would achieve that again. It is highly unlikely. So I am saying, in the absence of regular polling to ascertain the measurements in terms of up and down, one cannot speak. But I say from my perception, from what I see, I expect that the government could win a majority next election. And that is looking at history.
Thank you, George. We have to take a break for 12:30 latest. Thank you very much. We'll be back after the news.